I'm Mike Salem. As we begin a new year at the Christian Worship Hour, we want to let you know how grateful we are to be in your homes each week. My dad, Pastor Salem, proclaimed the good news of the gospel through these broadcasts, and we will continue to do so with his recorded services, Lord willing. A viewer in Oregon recently wrote, "Thank you for all you do. I look forward to Pastor Salem's classic programs every week. It really does help us remember we are all one big family." We hope today's service on the promises we can count on will be an encouragement for you. Let's listen to Dad now on the message, Certainties for a New Year. God bless you.
I'm Pastor Salem. I want to welcome you to the Christian Worship Hour. We're going to have a wonderful time today. We're going to talk about certainties for the new year. And so we're now embarked on a new year, and we're going to see some things that we can really count on. There's a lot of things we don't know, and there's things that change and everything else, but we've got some certainties. They're not going to change one bit because they're out of the Word of God. And how can you beat that? So we're looking at Psalm 84 today. "Behold, O God, our shield, and look upon the face of thine anointed. For a day in thy courts is better than 1,000. I'd rather be a doorkeeper in the house of my God than to dwell in the tents of wickedness. For the Lord God is a sun and a shield. The Lord will give grace and glory. No good thing will he withhold from them that walk uprightly. O Lord of hosts, blessed is the man that trusteth in thee." And dear Lord, we do trust in you, and we are blessed. And it is our prayer that in this service we'll honor you and hold high the Lord Jesus. And it is our prayer that in this service there will be multitudes that will open their heart to Jesus and find everlasting life. And we're praying that there'll be those, maybe they're on a real beds of sickness, maybe they have troubles and trials that are beyond them, that in this service they will find help and encouragement and strength, because it all is to be found in Jesus. Thank you in Jesus' name. Amen. Jan's going to sing, got a beautiful song, "Rejoice, the Lord is King." God bless you, Jan.
Lift up your
Well, thank you, Jan, and that's just exactly what we do. We rejoice in the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. And, you know, we are thinking about promises for the new year, certainties for the new year, and they're based on the word of the living God. What a wonderful, marvelous God we have, and you can count on him. The psalmist or the hymnist talks about change and decay, and all around I see, O thou who changest not, abide with me. And that's our God we worship, and that's the God we serve. We're going to read from Philippians chapter 4, if you want to locate that. But first of all, want to some of the letters. So many nice letters. Just thank you. Keep sending them in. We'll read a number each time. And I get letters where people, I think they like the letters better than the sermon. And that doesn't go over very good at my house. But facts are facts. And so here we are looking at some letters. The first one is West Plains, Missouri. God bless you. I'm a young widow at 50 years of age. Thank you for sustaining my faith more and more since my husband's death. It's been a long, lonely road. I've done missionary work in third world countries in years past. I want to begin again. Your messages keep me going. Your sermons always bring me closer to our Lord and reminds me of his great love. Thank you for your honest preaching of God's word, your blessing to young and old and all who will call on the name of Jesus. And I thought about a verse of scripture when I read this letter from this lady, and it's in Psalm 119, verse 97. Oh, how I love thy law. It is my meditation all the day. And that's the reason that you like this service. It's because it's based on the Bible. It's full of scripture. That's all we preach is the Bible. We're not giving about visions and experiences and all that kind of thing. We want to know, if people want to know, is there any word from God? We've heard from all the people around us, was God have anything to say? And the answer is, you bet he does. And that's the main flag. That's the flag we fly, the word of God. Praise God for that. Here's Omaha, Nebraska, and this is a nice letter, and I like the way she closes it. Thank you for allowing me to add my small gift to your work in spreading the gospel to this hungry world. I can't imagine my life without the peace of Christ in my heart and the power and strength I get from his word. May God bless all of you and your work. I look forward to seeing you, and this is what I like. I look forward to seeing you in our forever home. I don't think I've seen it that way. Our forever home. That's exactly what it is. We're going to be home forever. We all want to go home. Go home. I see people in the hospital. They want to get better. They want to get well. They want to go home. The soldiers fighting on a foreign land want to get the battle done. They want to go home. There's no place like home. We have an eternal home. God knew that. He put that in our heart. And so he talks us about that home. He says, I go to prepare, let not your heart be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. He's talking about home. And then he says, Thomas asks him, well, how do we get there? We know not the way. And Jesus says, I am the way, the truth, and the life. And then Jesus got very narrow and he says, no man cometh unto the Father. Nobody goes to heaven but by me. The way to heaven is a person. It's Jesus. I love the church. Spend most of my life in pastoring churches. And now I have the church with this TV program. I love the church, but the church can't save you. Salvation is a person. I am the way, the truth, the life. No man comes to heaven but by me. Beautiful Jesus. That's John chapter 14. Verses 1 to 6. Let's see. Columbus, Nebraska. Thank you for being a shining light in the darkness of this world. The money will go to the continuation of your broadcasts in Christ's love. And that's exactly what the Christian worship hour, it's a light shining in the darkness. When Jesus came, he says that I am the light of the world. And when we have that light in our heart and our breast, we can also be lights in this world. And that's what we are. The Christian Worship Hour is shining in a dark world. They're shining in a world that hates us. They're shining in a world that doesn't want God. They don't want any part of God. They want to be godless. They want to be their own God. And that's why the world is in such a mess, such a horrible mess. And it'll never get straightened out till the Prince of Peace comes, because they rejected God. And when you reject God, you have nowhere to go but down, down, down. Let's see, what is this? Fargo, North Dakota. Oh, yeah, listen to this letter. I've asked Jesus this. A lady writes this letter. I've asked Jesus to be in my heart and pray that God will forgive me. But I don't know. I pray to God first, and then I pray to Jesus, because I'm not sure if my prayers will reach God unless it's through Jesus. I know Jesus died for my sins, so I always end by asking Jesus to speak to our Father. I love my Savior and my God. I hope and I pray you can understand what I'm asking. Please pray for me, and God bless you. Now, this isn't the first letter we've got like this. Do we pray to the Father in heaven, or do we pray to Jesus, or just how do we do it? Well, let's see what God says. John 14, verse 13, Jesus said, "And whatsoever ye ask in my name, that will I do, that the Father may be glorified in the Son." So Jesus is saying, pray to him, and he'll answer our prayers. John 14, 13. But now look at Ephesians 5, verse 20. Giving thanks always for all things unto God the Father in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. See? So you can pray to Jesus or you can pray to the Father. Doesn't matter. I talk to Jesus a lot because I read about him in the Gospels and all. Either way is fine, except for one thing. It always has to be in Jesus' name. And it always should pray, at the end of our prayers, we should pray, "Thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven." Pray that God's will be done, because maybe you're praying for something that is not in the will of God. And it looks like you should have it, but when you get to heaven, you'll see it's the worst thing in the world you could have had. And so pray. Pray to the Father. Pray to the Son. Pray in Jesus' name. And always, "Thy will be done." Well, let's see. Estherville, Iowa. Oh, I like this letter. As a resident of Rosewood Manor Nursing Home in Estherville, Iowa, my father, a retired Lutheran minister, enjoys listening to your radio ministry. His Sunday morning program of choice are the 10 a.m. Christian Worship Hour and First Lutheran in Sioux Falls, South Dakota. God's blessings on your continued work for God's kingdom. I love it when we hear from pastors. I just love pastors, because I sometimes, oh, you dear brothers and sisters, you can be a headache, I'm going to tell you. That's why some of the pastors don't have any hair. It's all pulled out. And I'm not saying pastors are perfect. They make their mistakes. But just, you know, he's your shepherd. God's called him there, and listen, and pray for him. And if it's a, you know, and if he's not preaching the word, go where they are preaching the word. Here's Kansas City, Missouri. You are doing what the word says to do by asking, and you will receive. It's not for you, but for the lost souls and all of us who are blessed each week. I think most Christians love to give and only wish they had more to give. I think that's right. I think that's right, that some of you are on pretty close budget, and you don't have a lot. And most of our gifts are small gifts. They all add up. And I'd a lot rather have a lot of small gifts with all of you giving. Give what you can. And you can all pray. You can do that. And pray for the Christian Worship Hour, and pray three things with the Christian Worship Hour: that we honor and glorify God, that we win the lost to Christ, and we comfort God's people. That's what God told Isaiah. He said, "Comfort ye my people." That's part of our ministry. One more that I want to share, and that's Somerset, Iowa. Thank you for your faithful service. It's greatly appreciated, and I know it makes our Lord Jesus smile. Blessings to you. Well, they are smiling. They're rejoicing. You know what we're told? Listen to this. In Luke 15, verse 20, we're told this. Jesus said, "Likewise I say unto you, there is joy in the presence of the angels of God over one sinner that repenteth." Now notice what it says. There is joy over one sinner that repenteth, and it's in the presence of the angels of God. That means the Holy Trinity. God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit are rejoicing in the presence of the angels when one sinner repents. And that means they turn from their sins and they come to Jesus. And I know that in these services, as we preach the Word of God, I know there are multitudes coming to Jesus. I'm just positive. Because you were there and the Word of God is there and the Holy Spirit takes the Word of God and it applies it and many of you call on the name of the Lord and are saved. And for that, we give you thanks and praise. So we thank you for the letters. And if you would like to write and help us, we need your help. And because we're not underwritten by a denomination or a church or an organization, it's God's people. It's God lays it upon His people. And so you get the Christian Worship Hour. You can send it to the Christian Worship Hour. And the box is 2002 in Aberdeen, South Dakota, 57402. And what you need to do, dear friend, is you need to ask Jesus. Don't ask me, but just talk to Jesus and say, "Now, dear Lord, do you want us to support this program? Is this something you're using?" And then if he says no, then send it to someplace else. There are other good programs. But if he says yes, then you say how much. And listen. And you might just be blessed, really blessed. But we have to have your income. And because, like James says, you have not because you ask not. If you don't tell people, they don't know. But we don't make a big thing of it. And we don't have a lot of gimmicks to send out to get money. We just tell you we have a need. And it's up to you, so that I've told you. Now, I do want to tell you about the new song. It's a little paper that we put out every month. And it's a wonderful little book, and it has a little Bible study. The Bible study for January, this January, is Great Promises of God. And that's just wonderful for the new year, Great Promises of God. And so you write, and we got the address there on there, and you on shortwave, I'll give it again. It's Christian Worship Hour. Box 2002, that's easy to remember, 2002, Aberdeen, South Dakota, 57402. And if you do that, God will bless you and He'll bless us and we'll carry on the work. So it's all in your court. We're depending on you. So now I'm going to pray. Jan's going to play and you just do whatever God says. Dear Heavenly Father, thank you for those who have supported this ministry over the years. Thank you for those who are now standing in the gap, helping carry on the work. In Jesus' name, amen. Thank you, Jan. God bless you. We're reading from Philippians chapter 4, if you have your Bibles. And as you know, that every week we pray for our persecuted church, the persecuted church somewhere in the world. And so today we're going to be praying for our brothers and sisters in Egypt. And we'll keep that in mind. But let's look at Philippians 4, beginning with the first verse. St. Paul writes, "Therefore, my brethren, dearly beloved and longed for, my joy and crown, so stand fast in the Lord, my dearly beloved. I beseech Euodias and beseech Syntyche that they be of the same mind in the Lord. And I entreat thee also, true yoke fellow, help those women which labored with me in the gospel, with Clement also and with my fellow laborers whose names are in the book of life. Rejoice in the Lord always, and again I say rejoice. Let your moderation be known unto all men. The Lord is at hand. Be careful for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving let your requests be made known unto God. And the peace of God which passeth all understanding shall keep your hearts and minds through Jesus Christ." What a wonderful passage of Scripture. Dear Heavenly Father, we thank you for the peace of God that you give us when we come to receive you. Our lives are just all turmoil, and our beings are we just like cast up mire and dirt. There is no rest, saith the Lord, to the wicked, whose works continually cast up mire and dirt. And their lives are turmoil, and they've come to you, and they've asked you to come into their heart and take away their sin. And they've given their life to you, and they've found peace and joy. And, oh, God, we just thank you that there are so many things that you've given us that we can tie to, that we can lean on, that we can rest on. We can put all of our weight on it, the certainties of God. And for this new year now, oh, God, you are with us, and you will help us. And we will never fail because you will never fail, and we thank you for that. Now, Lord, we're praying for our brothers and sisters in Egypt today, and we're thinking of the awful suffering that they're going through. In 2015, 7,000 Christians, over 7,000, were put to death because of their faith in you, their witness for you. And we just pray for their family. We don't pray for those who've died because they're in your presence and they wear the martyr's crown. And their days of suffering are long gone, and they're in glory, and oh, are they rejoicing. But to those left behind, give them courage, give them strength and help. And Lord, help those people, our brothers and sisters who are suffering. Help them to know that they are a challenge to us and an encouragement to us all over the world, and that we are standing because you stand. We will stand strong for you wherever our post might be, and we will be faithful to you to death. That God give us the grace to do that if needs be. So bless your people, Lord. I know you will. And someday we'll meet these people in heaven, and won't that be something? So now bless us in this service, and all praise to your name. In Jesus' holy name, amen. Hank's going to sing for us, "Crown Him with Many Crowns," and God bless you, Hank.
Crown him with many crowns, the Lamb upon his throne. Hark how the heavenly anthem drowns all music but its own. Awake, my soul. Matchless king through all ages. the grave, who rose victorious in the strife for those he came to save. His glories now we sing, who died and rose on high.
Thank you, Hank. God bless you. And that's exactly, precisely it. A great crown. Crown him with many crowns. That's the servant. That's the Lord we serve. And that's the Lord we have to go with us in this new year. There are many uncertainties in the new year, but that great King of Kings and Lord of Lords is going to be with us. And let me tell you something else. When Jesus comes again, every knee is going to bow and every tongue is going to confess that Jesus Christ is Lord to the glory of God the Father. Now they're going to bow and they're going to confess him as Lord, but they're not going to heaven, they're going to hell. They rejected Jesus and now they have to bow down and confess who he is. So accept him now and confess now ere it is too late, because once you've crossed that grave, once you've crossed that line into that other world, there is no turning, there's no coming back. It's heaven or it's hell. The moment you, after death, the judgment. And the moment you die, you're in heaven or in hell. And so those are going to be resurrected in the second resurrection, and they're going to kneel and bow to confess that he's the Lord of lords and God of gods, and King of kings, but they're not going to heaven. If you're going to heaven, you got to do it in this life. And you ought to do it right away, because you don't know when this life is going to end. It could end before you get home. Jesus could come before we get the service done. He could come at any time. You might have somebody go by a construction place and somebody drop a brick on your head. You wouldn't know anything anymore. You couldn't make a decision if you had to. Now is the accepted time, is what the Bible says. It says, come now. God says, come now, let us reason together, saith the Lord. Though your sins be as scarlet, they shall be as white as snow. Though they be red like crimson, they shall be as wool. Now, come now. And while we're preaching, you come. As a matter of fact, before I preach, why don't you come to Jesus right now? You say, I don't know how. I'll tell you how. You just got to pray to Jesus. He says, I don't know how to pray. Then just talk to him. That's all. That's all it is. Talk to him. Say, dear Jesus, I'm a sinner. I've sinned against you. I ask you to come into my heart and take away my sin. and I'll follow you the best I can. Thank you, Jesus. Amen. And if you do that, God will save you. You're born again. You're part of the body of Christ, and you're washed in the blood of the Lamb. Just call on the whosoever will call in the name of the Lord shall be saved. That's what you do when you make that prayer. Oh, God, I hope you'll do that. Well, we're going to look at some things that we're sure of in the coming year. I put down seven things, and they're all found in Ephesians chapter 4. And the first one is in the fourth verse. And with one thing we can be sure of, we can be sure that we have the joy of the Lord to lift us up and to help us along. Philippians 4, verse 4, rejoice in the Lord always, and again I say rejoice. Paul tells us that in the new year we can be a people that are rejoicing and happy. And Paul was rejoicing because he was thinking about how he was saved. And then he was thinking about this church at Philippi. And he was so happy that they had accepted the Lord and they were walking with the Lord. And so we rejoice. There's a lot of things to rejoice about. But the main thing to rejoice about is that we have Jesus Christ as our Savior. I remember when I came to the Lord, I was 10 years old. And we had a little old country school that we went to. And an evangelist came from the Missionary Alliance Church, came and preached. His name was Vernon Egebroughton. And he preached about Jesus and how that Jesus would take away our sins. And he clothed us with all his righteousness. And he was talking about the man on the road to Jericho and the Samaritan and how that he took him. And he took off those old beaten up garments were bloody and he put new clothes on him. And when we accept Jesus, that's what he does. He washes away our sin and he clothes us with his righteousness, the righteousness of Christ. And when I stand to heaven, wait at one of those 12 pearly gates, and I want to get into heaven, they're going to look at me. And you know what they're going to see? They're going to see Jesus' righteousness because that's my garment. And I'm all clean from the blood of the Lamb. And they'll say, come in, come in. There are some people think, oh, I've done a lot of good works and I'll get in somehow. When I get there, I'll tell them all the good I've done and I'll get in. But God tells us that there's only one way, and that's through accepting Jesus. And if you think you're going to get into the by heaven, into our works, in Ephesians we're told, not by works of righteousness, which we have done, but according to his mercy, he saved us by the washing of regeneration and the renewal of the Holy Spirit. God does it all, and we don't do anything. Now, after we're saved, after we're born again, then we work our heads off to honor Jesus and serve Jesus, not because to get to heaven, but because we love him. You know, I faced a lot of temptations when I was a young person, not as many as they have now. Oh, we ought to pray for our young people now. But I never yielded to a lot of those temptations, and you know why? Not that I was afraid I'd get caught. Not that I was afraid of taking a drink or something like that. They were all there. But I didn't do it because my mother believed in me. My mother. Love for my mother. The law says you shouldn't do it, and I could do it if I wanted to. But my mother loved me, and I couldn't do it. And that's what we do with God. We come to Jesus in all of our filth and dirt. And we take him as our Savior. And then we're born again. We're washed clean. And we belong to him. And then we love him so much we want to keep his word. And his word is not grievous. All of his commandments are for our good. And so the certainty of this new year is you can have joy and peace and happiness when you trust Jesus and walk with him and serve him. I'm praying that many of you will do that very thing. And since this great God will keep us and his love will keep us, and so that we don't need to worry, we don't need to fret, but we just can trust in him and lean on him, and this wonderful Savior will carry us through. Paul tells us not to worry, not to fret, but just to trust Jesus, lean on him, and he'll carry us through. And I think so many times of being thankful, realizing that when I can go to prayer, I can go to prayer and God will hear me and God will answer my prayers. He won't always say yes. Sometimes you'll say no. Sometimes you'll say wait. Sometimes you'll say I'll do it later. Sometimes you say I've got a better idea. He always answers our prayers. But he can't say yes all the times because sometimes it's out of his will. And so when we pray that God's will might be done. And we pray that we just don't want our will. We want God's will to be done. Here's, for instance, sometimes God can't answer our prayer. It's impossible because here, for instance, here's two Christian schools and they each have a football team. And both teams are Christian boys and they're both praying to win. Now, what are you going to do with that? So sometimes it's impossible. But God, he knows which one should or which one shouldn't or should be a tie. Or maybe they'll play all the quarters and have no score. I don't know. I never heard of such a thing as that. But the point I'm trying to make is when we come to God, we always pray, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. And I want you to show me, Lord, and I want you to help me so I'll do the right thing. I want to be in your will and I want to honor you. And when we do that, there comes joy. And the peace of God which passeth all understanding shall keep your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus. That's the second thing. That's in verse 7. And so when we talk to God about things, we maybe talk about praying for certain things. And when we settle with the Lord and we say, now, Lord, I want your will to be done. And I remember we lost our farm in the 30s in the Great Depression. And my mother was a beautiful Christian woman. And my mother and I, we read where it says, if two of you on earth pray anything, I will do it. And we prayed we wouldn't lose our farm, and we lost our farm. And my mother said, I don't know, Harold, why, but we know God is good, and we trust God. And what we didn't realize is you have to pray according to God's will. And we don't want anything that's out of his will. And it is his will to get me off the farm and get me going and get to me to preaching. Or I'd have been out there farming, and there's nothing wrong with farming, but it's wrong if you're supposed to preach. And God was doing that. He was leading us. And my mother didn't get bitter. Now, sometimes these Christians, when some things don't go right for them, they become bitter toward God and they're angry toward God. And I had a woman tell me one time, and she said, I tithe. I gave 10% of everything I had, and we lost our farm, and I won't give the Lord another nickel as long as I live. And as far as I know, she never did. I know she never went to church. She was bitter. Now, when you come to the circumstances of life, it'll make you better or it'll make you bitter. It'll bring you closer to Jesus or it'll drive you farther away. And I'll tell you what'll happen. If you decide whether you're going to get close to Jesus or get away from him, you decide. God doesn't decide that. He says, here's the circumstances, and you can make something beautiful out of them or you can damn your soul by them. It's up to you. He gives us we're free moral agents. We get to make our own decisions. And so when you take this wonderful Lord Jesus Christ, he'll give you peace. And that's a wonderful promise for the new year, is to have peace at heart. Perfect, quiet, trusting, waiting peace. And there may be a tempest outside. And there may be a tempest outside. And maybe there's peace. We have Jesus. Have peace inside. On the other hand, maybe the peace of God is here. And we're living in sin and in distress. And we got terrible tempest in our heart. And we're causing our own storms and tempests. So you give them to Jesus. And you give yourself to Jesus. You ask him, take away your sins. And you promise him that you'll forsake your sins. Jesus always taught repentance. And repentance means turning. Turning from the old life. Living for the new Lord life. New life for the Lord. And that's what we need. So stay close to Jesus. And when we stay close to Jesus and have our prayers and are active for the Lord and doing things for the Lord, then we're going to have a peace, a wonderful peace the world can't give and the world can't take away. Then there's something else we have. We have the presence of God to accompany us. The 4th chapter and the 9th verse. Those things which you have both learned and received and heard and seen in me, do. And the God of peace shall be with you. The God of peace shall be with you. We don't know what the year holds. We don't know all of the ups and the downs. We have no idea, but God is away, knows all the way through. So we have that peace of God, and we have that wonderfulness because we have the presence of God. He is with us. He dwells within us. And God says, I'll send the Holy Spirit, and he will be with you forever, forever. There's some people say, oh, the Holy Spirit will be with us till I commit some sin. Then he's gone, and I'm lost. And they're just like they're walking on, they're just like they're in probation, that Jesus saves them. But boy, they better not sin or they're lost. And there's no peace there. The presence of God is with us, and he said he would never leave us or forsake us. And so this wonderful God, just look at who he is. The Paul uses several titles for God. He says he's the God of peace. That was Paul's favorite title for God. He says in Romans, and the God of peace shall bruise Satan under your feet. And the results of peace is joy. And then we have the God of hope. Someone has said belief in God is the only thing which can keep a man from ultimate despair. Despair of life, despair about the world, despair about the what's going to happen in this world. And we worry and we see the days are dark and we see the crime and the sin and the wickedness. And we wonder, oh my God, what's going to happen? And they were scared to death. And we come to Jesus and he gives us hope. And that gives us peace. And we have that wonderful hope. And the hope of God will drive away the despair. Because we know, I know, God is greater than the sins of this world. He is greater than Satan. He can do all things. And so put your faith in Jesus and he becomes your hope. He's called the God of patience, comfort, and consolation. Excuse me. The God of patience. The Greek word means not only the ability to sit down and bear things, but the ability to rise up and conquer them. And with God's help, this is possible. And so God consoles us and he gives us comfort and he soothes us. And he tells us not to worry and not to fret and go to bed and go to sleep and just leave things in his hands and in his arms and he'll be there. He's the God of love and the God of peace. He's the wonderful God. And oh, I hope you know him as the wonderful God. Because, oh, listen, dear friends, I'm going to tell you something. If you don't accept Jesus Christ, if you die in your sins, you're going to have to meet an angry God. He that hath the Son hath life. He that hath not the Son of God hath not life. But the wrath of God abideth on him. And when you meet God, it's not going to be what you've done or not done. It's going to mean, have you Jesus? Have you accepted Jesus? Have you the righteousness of Christ? Have you asked the Savior into your heart? And if you've asked Jesus, you're safe. And if you haven't, you're going to face the wrath of God. And you know why he's going to be angry? Because he's angry because he gave his Son. And Jesus, his Son, went to the cross. And he suffered the most horrible death on the face of the earth. And he died and he agonized his Son. He saw his Son dying like that. And you reject him. He's giving his gift. You say, I don't need your Son. I don't need your Son. I'll get along just fine. And God is angry. And the Bible says it's a fearful thing to fall into the hands of an angry God. I don't want to scare you, but yet I do want to scare you. I want to put the fear of the Lord in you so that you'll turn to Christ and say, oh, Jesus Christ, I do accept you. I do love you. And I ask you to come into my heart. Just your own words. Just in your own way. You don't need anything written or anything. Just talk to him. He's listening. He loves you. He died for you. When he was on the cross, he could see you. He could see your face. And so you just say, dear Jesus, I just pray that you'll come into my heart. And use your own words. I was 10 years old. And I know the pastor, evangelist told me. He gave me that verse in 1 John 1:9. If we confess our sins, he's faithful and just to forgive us our sins, cleanse us from all unrighteousness. And the evangelist said something like, you just tell him you're a sinner and ask him to come into your life. That's all I did. I didn't know anything about the baptism of the Holy Spirit. I didn't know anything about the Lamb's Book of Life. I didn't know about the adoption. I didn't know about the second coming of Christ. I didn't know all of those things, but I knew one thing. I knew that I needed Jesus, and I wanted him in my life, and I asked him in. And he came into my life that night, 85 years ago, and he's never left me once. Oh, I failed him. I'm sorry for that. But I got back on the track as best I can. But you know, but you can't. Some of these thoughts come before you know it here. Here, I'm coming out just here today. And I'm happy and I'm coming. I'm going to serve Jesus, happy as I can be. And somebody pulls out in front of me and putt, putt, putt. And I want to get out of here. And I thought, well, that bum, well, that isn't a nice thing to say, really, is it? That's not the best thing. And so we sin all the time. And that's why every day we just ask Jesus to forgive. Don't ask him to come into your heart and be born again. You can only be born again once. Jesus said, you must be born again. He didn't say again and again and again. But our daily walk, see, we ask forgiveness for our sins. And then we have also the pattern of others before us. And in verse 10, he says, but I rejoiced in the Lord greatly that now the last your care of me hath flourished again, of which ye were all so mindful, ye lacked opportunity. And so he's talking about these other saints, these people that love the Lord and walking with the Lord. And he says you can use them as a pattern and take the good from them, but don't put the main one to watch is Jesus Christ. Because every one of us have feet of clay. And if we make them our model, they're going to do something wrong and it's going to hurt our faith. And so see the good Christian life and pattern your life after it, but keep it mostly Jesus and be like Jesus. And some people have lived by that motto. What would Jesus do? And when things come up, they say, what would Jesus do? That's a good thing to do. Be like Jesus. That's our aim. That's our goal, to walk with the Lord Jesus. And then we have the policy of contentment to calm us in verse 11. Not that I speak in respect of want. I've learned in whatsoever state I am therewith to be content. And so that we, like Paul, can live a contented life. Now, there's a lot of people that are not contented. They're always wanting something. That happens to nations. Nations war against nations because they want more property. They want more territory. Well, people can do that. And they're never satisfied, and they're always searching, and they're always looking. And so they become greedy, and they become selfish, and they come to the place where they don't tithe. They work on the Lord's day. They neglect their families. They neglect the Lord's work. They drive themselves incessantly, and they just pound, pound, pound all the time. And they're never content, and they never will be until they have Jesus. You know why? Because God created us. And when he created us with a capacity for God. And when we sinned, we left that's open. And so that they try to fill that capacity with something else. They try to do it with money. They try to do it with drugs. They try to do it with sex. They try to do it with crazy living. They pour everything into there, but it's never satisfied till you have Jesus. And when you take Jesus, you're satisfied. Now, you ought to try to get ahead in life, especially in the Christian life. You ought to strive to be better and make a good living and so you can help others and give to the Lord's work. But don't let it drive you crazy. Be content. And Paul says, I have learned in whatsoever state I am therewith to be content. And so he is a content man because he's trusting in Jesus, leaning on Jesus. And then finally, we have the power of Christ to strengthen us. He says in Philippians 4, verse 13, I can do all things through Christ who strengtheneth me. That promise has some limits. There's some things we cannot do. We can't fly to the moon. We can't jump over the house. But what it is saying is, I can do all things through Christ which strengtheneth me. Whatever God calls you to do, he'll equip you to do it. He gives us gifts. When we accept Jesus, we have gifts, and there are certain things we can do, some people can do that other people can't do. I can't sing like some of our musicians sing. Now, I tried one time, and they locked me out for a month. Yeah, I can't sing. And there's a lot of things I can't do, but maybe I can preach a little bit. I can try that. And so God was, he'll help you, and he'll say, I'll give you the strength to do what I have in my will. You ask me, give my will. Ask me to show you the way, and I'll show you the way. And you can follow me and walk with me. And when you do that, I'll give you the strength. You see, the same thing is true of our Christian worship hour. Why, if God took his hand off of the Christian worship hour, we couldn't go 3 months, 2 months, I don't know. We would be broke in no time. God has to supply it. And so if we say, all right, now, Lord, you want me to be in your will? In your will, you want us to preach the gospel. You want us to take this station. We don't have enough money, but we think we got enough to start. And he'll tell our board. We have a board who plans these things. And they'll say, let's go by faith. That's where we go by faith. And if God wants it, he'll supply it. If we're off base, he won't supply it. And we'll back off. And when he's done with this ministry, and we pray that a ministry will go till Jesus comes. But if he says, I'm done with that ministry, he takes away our finances and we're done. And that's what we can do. I can do all things through Christ which strengtheneth me. When I'm in the Lord's will, I can do anything he calls me to do. And it may seem impossible. It may seems like it's something way over my head and it can't be done. But when we give ourselves to God, he will use us. But the first thing we have to do is give ourselves to Jesus, give ourselves to God. And you do that by accepting his son. Jesus tells us in John 5:24, verily, verily, I say unto you, he that heareth my word, now you've heard it, the best I could give it, you've heard it. He that heareth my word and believeth on him that sent me, Jesus, believeth on God, believeth on Jesus, he believeth on him, hath, as many as received, hath everlasting life. Shall not come into condemnation. You won't go into hell. You're passed from death unto life. Now that's a wonderful promise he's given. And when we take him as our Savior, then we can serve him. Then we have the power, but we don't have that power until we have Christ in our life. And so we're just praying that many of you will pray that prayer and give yourself to Jesus. And maybe you've drifted away. Maybe you are a Christian. And you drifted away off in sin. You know, that can happen to any of us. God says, let him that thinketh he standeth take heed lest he fall. And we can, every one of us can drift away and into sin. We can backslide just like that prodigal son. We can get off into sin and get away from God. And it can happen so fast to make your head swim. And maybe you've drifted away. Maybe you got your feelings hurt. Maybe something happened in your church or with another Christian. And you threw up your hands and you're done with the whole thing. And you're off in sin. And Jesus is talking to you. The Holy Spirit is talking to you and say, I love you and I want you to come back. And like the prodigal son, when you come back, the Father will receive you. That's a beautiful picture, you know. That prodigal son was off in his sin, and he spent his inheritance. He squandered it all, and he was just like a bum. And he was smelly from taking care of the pig pen. And he's coming back, and he's going to get on his knees and beg his Father to forgive him. Please let me just, he says, just be a servant in your house. I'm not asking to be your son. I'll just let me be a servant in your house. He's going to get on his knees. But before he can get on his knees, his father comes running and he throws his arms around him and he rejoices because his son has come back home. Maybe you drifted away. You're going to come back. Say, dear Jesus, I'm sorry for my sins. I want to come back to Jesus. I want to come back home. Now you pray that. And if you do, you write to us and we'll send you literature. You write to the Christian Worship Hour. The box is 2002-2002, Aberdeen, South Dakota, 57402, USA. And you write to us and we'll send you literature. If you want to send a gift, we appreciate that. Or you can get the ChristianWorshipHour.com. You can send us a gift that way. And if you want to be sure we're spending it correctly, you can check with a Christian or you can check with an evangelical council for financial accountability. They're on the web night website, and they're worldwide, international, and they've audited our books and everything. It's all on the level. So we're praying that you'll all will hear from you. Pray that you'll put your faith in Jesus. And now I'm going to pray for you. Dear Heavenly Father, I thank you for all of the people that are coming to you right now. And I'm praying for them. I pray, Lord, we're praying for those who are sick today. And those who are lonely. And those who are, live by themselves. And maybe nobody comes to see them. We pray for those in wheelchairs and all those who are shut-ins. We just pray that they'll look to you and put their faith in you and help them to know that you do love them and that you'll never leave them or forsake them. Help them just to believe that. Pray that Jesus will be honored and God will be glorified in all that we do and say, because we pray it in Jesus' name. Amen. So we want to just thank you all for opening your doors for us. We really look forward to coming to your homes every weekend. And we just know that we won't get to see all of you now. But if you receive Jesus and if you're a child of God, we're going to see you in heaven. And we'll get to see you personally. And won't that be a wonderful time? And we want to also ask you to pray for the Christian Worship Hour and tell others to watch. You know, if all of you would get one person to watch, our congregation would double, just like that. And many of these people, maybe they're old and they can't get around. Maybe they're young and they don't have time, but you can tell them, just tune in, listen to the gospel, and see what you think. And God will use your ministry and our ministry together. Amen.
My dad loved to preach because he got to tell people of the saving grace of Jesus Christ. For the 76 years he was a pastor, he wanted everyone to know that Jesus loved them, died for them, and rose again, so that anyone who calls upon his name and repents of their sin will have eternal life in heaven. And for those of us that have received Jesus and are born again, Dad wanted to encourage us to grow in the grace and knowledge of our Lord and Savior. I'm Mike Salem. To learn more about having a relationship with Jesus, visit our website at cwh.org. You can also stream this message again, as well as other 30 and 60 minute programs. Locate a station in your area. Subscribe to our monthly newsletter called A New Song. View frequently asked questions answered by Pastor Salem, as well as newly released devotions. And submit a prayer request on our Pray For Me page. Our weekly program will also be available on our website, our Facebook page, and our YouTube channel. We hope you have been uplifted by today's program. Please pray for this ministry and help us financially to continue proclaiming the gospel through the Christian Worship Hour. We would be most grateful. Thank you, and God bless you.